A weak solidarity brekkie team listener when decades of cynicism and incredulity, of disbelief, dissipated. Suddenly, I believe in miracles, unreservedly. What else could explain Lord Rupert of Wapping's overnight conversion, atheistic denialist to religious believer? Lord Rupert, the Greenie, leading the campaign day after day to address the very issue he has vociferously denied even exists. Lord Rupert, the Greenie. Okay, one of the days was a huge spread advocating the virtues of nuclear. Nonsensical not to include uranium, nuclear, in the energy mix, surrendering to irrational activists. Dealing with the little problem of nuclear waste by suggesting it could be recycled. Recycle the radioactivity for a few thousand years. To add to the miracle, the Business Profits Council now preaches that what it told us yesterday would destroy the economy and life as we know it is now the saviour. And if that's not life-changing enough, Big Supremo Scuttle Them More Less Son, a.k.a. ScumO, is about to announce a form of zero emissions by some time or other. As long as it doesn't upset the Hayseed and Cheapshit Party, whose great advocate for the regions, Bridget Bacon Them Is Easy, as we reported last week, used a convoluted argument to declare why we couldn't afford to adopt a zero emissions target, and this week seemed to use the same convoluted argument to tell us how we could afford a zero emissions target. Which she could get away with, because in neither case did anyone have the slightest idea what she was talking about. And now that my cynicism, I can probably speak for all of us, our cynicism, listener, has dissipated into that belief in miracles, then we wouldn't dream of asking Lord Rupert or the Prophets Council or ScumO or Bridget or any of the converts whether a sudden realism that the do-nothing option could be even more costly than the end-of-the-world economy they were predicting just a week ago has anything to do with it. That hard as it is to believe, they now see more profit in the energy sources needed to prevent the planet from frying to death than in continuing to fry it to death while denying it is frying to death. Or in Lord Rupert's case, big advertisers seeing that. Or in ScumO's case, he sees himself becoming an international outlier, a pariah, requiring a real miracle, appease international criticism, and appease the Hayseed and Sheepshit Party simultaneously. On that, a commentator through the week said ScumO and Hayseed and Sheepshit Party Supremo Barnacle were tossing around ideas, leaving us to play Guess the Odd One Out. ScumO, Barnacle, ideas. Tough one. If we were cynical, which we're not, but let's just for the sake of argument suggest we might be, that cynicism may have been fueled by the Witch Bank, which used to be our bank, annual general meeting Wednesday, where it rejected a move by the environmental activist group Market Forces over accusations it was not cutting lending to fossils fast enough. With chairperson Catherine Livingstone Greenies claiming the virtue of lending to fossils who are committed to transition to a cleaner economy. I suspect King O'Malley would be turning in his grave. The bank, Catherine said, will not resile from Paris commitments, but nor will we capitulate to the demands of climate agitators. Our philosophy overall is to support the transition, but to make it very science-based and data-based. Not profit-based. Science-based profit and data-based profit. Climate science, climate data. More profit science, profit data. Right, but are fossils committed to transition? Now, wouldn't they indicate their commitment more not by mining and exporting more fossils, but by not mining and exporting any fossils? Not if you believe in the inalienable laws of profit science and profit data. Just think, if we still owned the Witch Bank, which used to be, it would cease supporting fossils immediately now that ScumO has seen the light. Well, except in the regions, and oh, of course, that's where the fossils are, so no, maybe it'd make no difference. So let's leave it to Catherine and the shareholders to save the planet, to not resile from our Paris commitments its way. The new converts all tell us the planet will be saved by market forces, the very market forces which created the threat in the first place. So it is with great confidence that we accept their prognostications and place our faith in them and their markets. Not that all fossils need a loan from the Witch Bank and the other banks balancing their books between our Paris commitments and a little profiteering. Take our second most filthy rich of the filthiest rich, Twitty, for us the prophets, with his gas plants, accepting a $30 million handout from Fossils Minister Angus Tailings. What a kind gesture, because the second filthiest rich in the country needs every bit of public largesse he can get, like the $30 million topped up with another several million from the new New South Wales Supremo Dominic Perilous Tay, with Twitty announcing his Port Kembla plant would enjoy the wonders of green hydrogen and Angus boasting it would show the wonders of his gas-led recovery, presuming a gas-led recovery from gas. It was wrong to call it gas, Twitty complained, looking a $30 million gift horse in the mouth. So what will it produce in export, Twitty? Gas. Then Angus is correct. No, he has no right to call gas, gas. It's gas while we transform to beautiful, spectacularly profitable green hydrogen. Trubler was his number one filthiest rich, relegating poor Twitty into second place. Gina Nohart has also called for public largesse to assist farmers and graziers because solar and renewables are a costly exercise. Farmers will need government assistance. Our richest farming and mining person held out the begging bowl. And the good news is, Gina, the government can raise the funds for that public largesse for strugglers like you by introducing a carbon tax. When she recovered, well enough to speak, Gina pointed out the last thing market forces need is government intervention. Keep government out. But you just said you want them to give you a handout. Absolutely, and then get out of the way and leave the market and saving the world to us. What a wonderful, thoughtful, caring person, always putting herself last. Back to the witch bank which used to be, poor Catherine not only had to contend with bloody climate activists, but with the unfair work ombudsman charging it with underpaying staff at least $16 million. This after it admitted 2 years ago it had underpaid 41,000 staff $53 million. The ombudsman suggesting there was a problem with signing workers up to individual agreements the bank called individual flexibility arrangements. And we know caring employers need flexibility, which got rid of crippling work practices like rostered days off, overtime pay, annual leave loading, guaranteed pay rises, and maximum hours. For goodness sake, there's some uncommitted workers who might even want to go home at night, all for a bit extra, which the bank must have miscalculated as it cost the workers all those millions. Inadvertent, of course, although the bank would only pay top-up money if employees twigged and complained they were being paid sub-award rates. The bank, the ombudsman said, privately knew 10 years ago workers were not better off overall, but continued to make them obviously worse off overall. So poor Catherine had a lot on her plate this week. How did this happen, Catherine? Absolutely inadvertent. The award details are just so complicated. But you abolished the award because it is so complicated and we inadvertently miscalculated. But you knew that at least 10 years ago. And we inadvertently forgot to correct it. We are busy people after all. The penalty is up to $660,000 per breach, but hopefully Catherine and the board can negotiate their way out of that one with some sort of flexibility agreement to match the inflexibility in workers' wages and conditions. Another fine example of the virtues, seeing we're on that theme today, of privatisation and the mutual benefits of workers' rights not to join a union. Those virtues also evident in the airline industry, speaking of contributions to frying the planet, with the airline which used to be our airline privatised by a socialist government because they claimed the public purse couldn't afford to own it. And thankfully, the public purse has only handed out so far $5 billion to the industry in the past year. And a caring business class government also privatised the major airports, providing a oh-so-lucrative monopoly, with the privatised airline, which used to be complaining about the airports, increasing their charges exorbitantly. But they're a monopoly. It's what they do. And everyone knows everything's so cheap at the airport. And the government regulator got really tough and pleaded with the airports not to increase their charges exorbitantly. Please, please. Again, showing the virtues of privatisation. And we know the airlines themselves would never take advantage of certain high demand times to increase their charges exorbitantly. So let's hope the public largesse keeps flying in their direction. Very confusing, though, because the socialists privatised the airline, which used to be, to bring it the super efficiency of the private sector, which the bloated head of the public purse couldn't match. Yet, when a rival airline was seeking the right to compete with the airline which used to be on the lucrative Pacific route, its supremo Alan Joystick said the other airline had an unfair advantage because it was state-owned. It's also confusing. Here we've fought the coronavirus by locking down as soon as even one case, or maybe two or three, turn up. Daily press briefings keeping us informed of how close we are getting back to zero and therefore able to get on with our lives. Thank goodness we're now so much more sophisticated that as we record the highest daily number of cases in True Blue Aussie and 11 deaths, we are assured this is exciting news, meaning we can open up as planned, adding there is no doubt the numbers will then reach new records and the health system will be overwhelmed. A big win, a great win for the profit motive. Not quite so great for the record numbers of ill and dying. Finally, one of the thinkers behind privatising the airline, which former world's greatest worst treasurer and big supremo Paul talked about cozying up to former Indonesia and other people's business butcher Suharto in order to contain evil China, saying his interest in Indonesia Inn was sparked by reading about Suharto's coup and the slaughter of millions of mostly leftists. How Suharto had knocked over the Indonesia Inn Communist Party, Paul said. Unfortunately, in cozying up, Paul obviously didn't think it remotely worthwhile to raise the matter of slaughtering the left with his newfound diplomatic friend. With friends like. Good morning.